Rishis Rabbi Reuben, very humbling, and thank you all for giving me this opportunity tonight. It's really it's very special, it's very inspiring, the whole concept of ACTT, Achieving Change Through Torah, to be working together with others. And the Sefer HaChinuch says that in the Yovel year, they free slaves. So it's a very difficult thing to free your slave. I mean, for all of us in contemporary America, imagine freeing your cleaning ladies, you know, a week before Pesach, you know. And Sefer HaChinuch says that because it was done together, it was a whole situation, so it made it much, much easier. When things are done together, it gives a tremendous chizuk to it. So it's really a very, very special thing, and the fact that it's going for so many years, that's, you know, the greatness. I once heard someone say the greatness of President Washington was that he helped found this country, which is an amazing thing. It's an amazing country. But the greatness of President Lincoln, you know, arguably the greatest of all presidents, is because he maintained the Union. And that's a separate challenge. To keep it going is very, very special. And it's really been a very big pleasure to speak with Phil and finally to meet him. And his excitement and his passion is really very inspiring. He accused me of being a person who lives a life of Kiddush Hashem, but really, it's quite obvious. So it's really a very big honor for me to be here and to present for this Kiddush Shem Shamayim. In what way? We talk about Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Jews love to talk about Kiddush. Everyone loves to scream out whenever you hear anything good. Kiddush, Kiddush, the ubiquitous Kiddush. Is it just about chalent and kugel and herring and cake? By the way, the correct answer is yes. When people scream out Kiddush, that is what they mean. But perhaps there is more to it than that. At least subconsciously. Irving Bunim was a leader of Orthodox Jewry in the 1940s, 1950s. He was very involved in the Vada Hatzala and during World War II, saving Jews. He was a very successful businessman who was known for his integrity. And he did business, his company did business with a company called A.D. Juilliard. He manufactured corduroy and velveteen. I had to look up what velveteen was, I had no idea what that was, but that's what he manufactured. And they sold Irving Bunim a significant amount of velveteen. And Bunim was looking at the bill, he was reviewing the bill, and the numbers did not make sense. They undercharged him tremendously. So he thought that maybe they didn't deliver on the shipment. So he went downstairs and looked at the boxes. No, they delivered the proper amount. What obviously had happened was the person doing the billing had left off the first digit. That's a mistake of approximately $40,000. $40,000 today is money. In those days, it was even, you know. Bunim called the owner of the company, Burnett Valentine, and he asked him if they can set up a meeting. And he sat down at the meeting and he said, Irving Bunim said to him, he said, Mr. Valentine, I want you to know that today is a Jewish holiday. He said, really? I work with a lot of Jews. What holiday is today? He said, today is the day that a Jewish businessman shows you what our Torah's ethics demand of us. And he then returned $40,000 to a shocked but very grateful Valentine, who said to him, I don't know anyone else in the business world who would have returned the money. And Bunim told his family that was the greatest Kiddush Hashem I could have asked for. You know, in yesterday's parsha, Avraham Avinu says to the Bnei Ches, he says to Ephron, Ger v'soshav anochi imachem. I'm a ger, I'm a stranger, v'toshav and I'm a settler. Well, that's, you can't really be both. How can you be a settler and also a stranger? Rav Salvechik says so beautifully, he says, Avraham was conveying to the Bnei Ches the hashkafa of a Jew. I live in the same world as you. I work in the same businesses. We do the same things. We go to stores. We go on vacations. I'm a toshav. I'm just like you. But I'm a ger. I live a different lifestyle. Even though I live in the same world as you, I don't live in the same world as you. I might do the same things, but it's in such a different way. Because a Jew lives for Kvod Shemayim, for Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman relates that he was in, many years ago, he wasn't well. He spent some time in the hospital. He said, so one time his doctor walked in, the same surgeon, the same doctor that, you know, had been treating him for some time. And he said, is that true? I guess the doctor heard the name, you know, Yisrael Reisman was his patient, someone had mentioned him something. Is it true that you give classes on Saturday nights that are broadcast for thousands of people throughout the world? So Rabbi Eisenman said, yeah, it's true. He says, do they get a degree when they come to your speech? He said, no. He said, is there food? He said, no. He said, so why do they come? He said, doctor, you'll never understand. And he said another story. Rabbi Reisman has a book, it's a sefer, really, in English, it's an article sefer, on the laws of ribis, on the laws of charging interest, a thick sefer. So someone, when he was in the hospital, someone had asked him for the sefer, I guess his wife had dropped it off, so it was sitting on the chair. And the doctor walks in, he looks down and he says, you wrote this book? He said, yes. He said, the laws of the rabbis? He says, no, not the laws of the rabbis, the laws of ribis. He said, what's ribis? He said, well, the Jews, we're not allowed to charge interest. He said, okay, what are the other 498 pages about? Okay, you just told me you're allowed to charge interest. He said, doctor, you'll never understand. Ger v'soshev. Yeah, I'm a toshev, I'm a patient, it looks all the same, but I'm a ger. It's a different world, I live in a different world. This summer, there was a post on a Facebook page from Sullivan County. Some of you might have heard about it. From a bus driver named Anne Marie Barton. And she said she had a bus full of 14-year-old boys. 14-year-old boys are like, on a trip. From one camp, she said, I couldn't have asked for, quote, a better behaved, polite, and grateful group of boys. Each one thanked me as they got off the bus. And they got on the bus. She said, I asked them not to leave a mess. They didn't leave a thing on the floor. My hat is off to the parents for raising these children. And this is a place that has a lot of anti-Semitism, Sullivan County. They don't appreciate the Jews necessarily there all year round. Amazing Kiddush Hashem. I sent it, I work in Camp Torah Golding during the summer. We were going on a trip the day this came out. So I sent it to the head counselor. And he read it to the boys. And what moved me so much was when he finished reading it, all the campers, they have no idea, we have no idea what camp this woman was writing about, the whole camp broke into applause. Because you make a Kiddush Hashem, and so, you know, some camp in the Catskills makes a Kiddush Hashem, it reflects on all of us. It reflects on us in the Poconos, reflects on Jews throughout the world, because we're all connected like that. Rabbi Bauman, Zichrono Livracha, a heartbreaking tragedy that happened in Virginia this past summer. The Coast Guard couldn't get over it. That after they knew it was already, you know, already wasn't a rescue mission, that there was no way he was still alive, people in the hundreds, maybe thousands, from all over, were coming to find the body until they found it. To bring him to Kfuras Yisrael. They're blown away, never saw such a thing. To give the family some closure. At the same time, almost the same time, there was a story, there was a 2-year-old girl, Eliana, who had a rare genetic condition. And they came at, there's the medicine that had just been approved. It costs $2.2 million medicine, and they only do it until the baby turns 2, and she was a week before her second birthday. So what do? They appeal to the Jew, to Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael came up with the money. $2.2 million for this girl. I hope she's well. I don't know what came of it, but it's mind-boggling. On a personal level, the day of my graduation from Fordham University, so I asked my Rebbe, should I go to the reception, to the affair? So he said, for sure. So I went, my parents came. It was very nice. We're walking back to the car. It was in Lincoln Center in Manhattan. Walking back to the car. And there was an African-American fellow who was pushing a push cart full of boxes, and he hit the curb all over the street. It wasn't Broadway, but there's no such thing as a side street in Manhattan. And, you know, cars trying to get through. My father looks at me and he says, Donnie, come on. It's the right thing to do. You know, and people are walking by, and me and my father are helping this fellow who was blown away. Thank you, rabbis, thank you. You know, I didn't have a beard then, my father, you know, sure. But we're all rabbis, so wearing yarmulkes on our heads. It's a beautiful lesson that my father taught me, you know, about you don't walk by. But that's the Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Around this time of year, so we all remember, November 18th, 2014, Chofei Cheshvan. Two Palestinians, Yimach Shemam, entered Kilas B'nai Torah in Harnof, wielding axes and knives and guns, and massacred 4 people, and later a 5th died. A horrible event. One of the people who died was Moshe Tversky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Shen Yom Kodomo. A holy, holy man. He was a Rebbe in Yeshiva that I attended in Taras Moshe. A well-known for his... A great man. They were all great people. But he often spoke about... There's a beautiful book about him called A Malach in Our Midst. He often spoke about Kiddush Hashem during his speeches, about living the Kiddush Hashem. He told over a story in one of his speeches that there was a young boy who was killed by Arabs, and he called out Shema Yisrael as he was dying. And as Rosh Yeshiva said, the only way he was able to have the presence of mind to be able to say Shema Yisrael in such a horrible moment is because whenever he said Shema, he thought about it. B'chol nafshecha, afilu notelus nafshecha. Even if he takes your soul to be ready for a person to give up their life for Hashem. I don't know that that means. To me, I didn't take it to mean that he like sat there contemplating as if he was about to die and, you know, literally. But it means that he thought for a moment, even if, God forbid, it came to that. That the time came. There's an old bad joke that they say about a very religious fellow. That somebody came by, you know, some hoodlum came by with a gun and said, "Your buddy, say your prayers, I'm about to pull the trigger." He goes, okay, 1 second. He goes, closes his eyes. Baruch ato Hashem Elikeinu. Ohom Baruch Hashem Kidshonu B'mitzvah. He screams, it's Yivonu HaKidosh Hashem. He opens his eyes and the guy's running away. No! Oh! That's sick! No! But Rav Tversky said over, he used to say over, that the story of Rabbi Akiva. Gemara in Brachas tells over the story of Rabbi Akiva. But they were raking his skin literally off his back. And he was smiling. And his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe Ad Kan, which literally means until here, this is how far it goes. They're raking your skin and you're smiling. And he said, Rabbi Akiva said legendary words. He said, Kol Yomai, my entire life, I'm waiting. When am I going to have the opportunity to fulfill these words? Even if he takes your soul, now I have the opportunity, I shouldn't be happy. The Vilna Gaon says a different pshat. He says, Ad Khan, they were asking him, Ad Khan, why are you stopping at there? Rabbi Akiva, it says, Yatzason Ishmaso Be'echot, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echot. His neshama left him with the word Echot. He said, why don't you continue? Why don't you say the Hafta? So the Vilna Gaon says, Rabbi Akiva was telling them, the greatest part of tefillah is when you're able to live it, you're able to fulfill it. That's the highest level of tefillah. So he said, the real Mesiras Nefesh is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echot. Hashem is one. He said, that's the real Mesiras Nefesh. So he said, so he was telling his Talmidim, I want to fulfill it at the same time that I'm saying those words, so I'm stopping at Echot. But Rabbi Tursky would talk about these types of things. And when the Rabbeinu Shalom, for whatever reason beyond us, took him, it was right after he said Shema, he was in the middle of Shemon Esrei, in the middle of that Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So I want to know, I want to try to understand, what is Kiddush Hashem? All these beautiful stories. What does it mean? Something that we try to, it's not just something that we talk about, it's something we try to live. Something that Be'ezer Hashem will be working on for the next few months. What is it, in the depth of it, what is Kiddush Shemayim? So I want to share with you a very powerful thought from Rav Shlomo Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's Rosh Yeshiva in Farakaway in Shayoshiv. Also, the Pasuk says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Yitzicho Meretz Mitzrayim, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Rashi says, Al Menaskein, this is what I took you out for. I took you out to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. So, what is this Kiddush Hashem? So, Freifeld starts out by asking about another terminology that we often talk about, which is Yiras Shemayim. Fear of heaven. You know, there are people that are afraid that, you know, the heavens are going to, the world's going to come to end, the heaven's going to collapse. That's obviously not what Yiras Shemayim is. What do we mean when we talk about Yiras Shemayim? Who wants to be afraid? We want to live in security and peace. Who wants fear? We talk about this thing called Yiras Shemayim as something that we all strive for, that we need to have. What is Yiras Shemayim? Every Friday night, in the beautiful moments of Kiddush, so we start out, Vayera Vayvoker, Yom HaShishi, it's the sixth day. We begin, Vayechulu Hashemayim Moritz V'chol Tzvom, and God finished the heavens and the earth, and everything was done. Which apparently is very clear that it's talking about the sixth day. Came the end Friday afternoon, and God was finished. The world was done on the sixth day. So if I asked you, when was the world finished? Sixth day. But then the Pasuk continues, Vayechal Elokim Bayom Hashvi, God finished on the seventh day. Well, that's a pretty big contradiction. Did he finish on the sixth day? Or did he finish on the seventh day? So Rashi picks up on it. Rashi says, Mahaya Olam Chaser. What was the world missing when Shabbos began? Menucha. Basa Shabbos, Basa Menucha. Shabbos comes, and let's say literal translation, we all talk about Menucha. We all love the rest of Shabbos. I mean, rest as in sleep of Shabbos. It says Rashi, Kol Sava Nigmara HaMalacha. It was finished and completed all the work. So somehow Menucha was what the world was missing. There's the words of Rashi are Basa Shabbos, Basa Menucha. Shabbos comes, Menucha comes. For those who learn Daf Yomi can appreciate this. I don't know if everyone will get it, but coming to the Daf Yomi, Siyum Emirat Hashem, it's only weeks away at this point. So they say that, you know, comes Brachas, and we're going to see many thousands of people are going to get excited, and they're going to join the Daf Yomi. And everybody's Brachas, which is not an easy Masechta, but it's fairly, there's a lot of, you know, lighter topics, and it's very interesting, very intriguing. And everyone's, you know, running to Daf Yomi Shiur and being up late at night, waking up early in the morning. Then they start Shabbos. So look, much more challenging Masechta. Basa Shabbos, Basa Menucha. Shabbos comes and the rest comes. Okay, I think we're done, you know. But what does it mean when we talk about Menucha on Shabbos? I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean the nap that we take on Shabbos. Now, I'm not speaking bad about that nap. I look forward to it when my kids permit me. Mirtz Hashem, when they get married and move out. But it definitely, there is a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos, v'karasa l'Shabbos Oneg. The Navi Yeshaya says you proclaim Shabbos a delight for little kids at Shabbos party, for older people, like take a nap. But that's not what Menuchas HaShabbos is. I'll prove it to you. Yesterday afternoon, we all davened Mincha Shmona Esra, and we say these beautiful words. Menuchas Ahava Unedova. I'll say it in English. A rest. I'm going to translate Menucha as rest. A rest of love and devotion. A rest of sleep. A rest of truth and faithfulness. A rest of peace and tranquility and security. A complete rest that you desire. You, Hashem. Your children will recognize and they will know that from you is the rest. And through that rest, and here's our topic, Yakdishu Hashemecha. Through that rest, they will sanctify your name. I don't know about you, I can only speak for myself. I promise you that from my nap on Shabbos, nobody's recognizing and knowing Hashem. And through that, they're going to sanctify His name. So the concept of Menucha on Shabbos must be something deeper. Again, there's a mitzvah of owning Shabbos. I'm not disparaging the nap. But that's not what it's about. That's not what Menucha Shabbos is. And Menucha Shabbos leads to Kiddush Shem Shemayim. How so? Every generation has its challenges. So the Feifel points out, socialism, communism, that's already in the past. Secularism. Every nation, every generation has its challenges. I was saying it's in the past, and I'm thinking, oh, please God, Bernie Sanders don't win. So, yeah. But what's our greatest challenge today? So Rabbi Freifeld says a word. He says, it's a word you probably never heard. He's made it up. Desacralization. Desacralization. The opposite of Kedusha. What's desacralization? So I want to tell you the challenge of our world today in different words. There was a fellow named Fischel. Could be some people here know Fischel. Fischel was, everybody looked up to him. He was a person of beautiful family, beautiful children. He was always going on vacations, always posting pictures on social media of all his vacations, of his beautiful house, gorgeous house, cars. He wrote about the shiurim that he went to and the learning that he did. This guy's amazing, he's incredible. You know what the problem was? It was all fake. Because Fischel's marriage was falling apart. All the vacations he went to was a desperate attempt to try to save his marriage, which was in shreds. All the stuff he posted on social media was all on the outside. It was all fake. People used to call this fellow Fischel. He was a superhero for our time. They used to call him Superficial. A superhero for our time. The emptiness. Kodesh and Chol. We talk about the days of the week as being Chol. We talk about Shabbos as being Shabbos Kodesh. Yom Tov as being days of Kedusha. Chol has another meaning. We spoke about it in the last few parshios. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises Avram, your children will be like the stars, and they'll be kachol asher fatsayam, the sand. Chol is sand. What in the world is the connection between sand and weekdays? What defines sand? It's particularity. There's no cohesiveness. You pick up sand and it slides right through your fingers. Nothing that holds it together. Kedusha is the opposite. Kedusha is when something blends, when there's a cohesiveness, when there's a combination, when there's a synthesis, when there's a molding together. That's Kedusha. When the Torah describes, and this for good and for better, the Torah describes kelayim. Kelayim is forbidden mixtures, most famously shatnez. But there's other things in halacha, like a plant, mixing plants. So the Torah says in Dvarim and Perakal Beis Pasuk Tes, Pentikdash Hamaleya. Maybe you will, literally means to sanctify. But Kedusha, that's a misused, that's an abused Kedusha. When there's a blending that's inappropriate. A woman of ill repute, the Torah refers to as a Kedesha. We'll see a Kedesha Bibnos Yisrael. The opposite, marriage we call Kedushin, is a fusion. And the highest level, the holiest level, is a Kedushin. In Yoel, we read this on Shabbat Shuvah in the Haftorah. Kid shoot som, kyoru atzara. Kid shoot som, sanctify, bring together through the fasting. The days of the week are chol. There's weekdays, they're span, they're disparate. Every day, we're busy doing whatever's busy for that day, whatever we need to take care of for that day. It's locked in the present, somewhat narrow-minded. Shabbos, we take a step back and look at the world on a much broader scale. We look at it almost from a bird's eye view. We see the meaning and the purpose, the direction. Vayikadishoso. He sanctified it. He made it holy. He brought it all together, all the disparate parts. The whole world now, I understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create anything new on Shabbos. But in a sense, He recreated the entire world. Because each day, as everything was created, it was its own entity. What an entity. A sun, a moon, trees, flowers, animals. Amazing. But what's the goal of it all? There's an elderly man who's taking around his grandson. He knows that his grandfather has a plant, you know, a plant meaning a manufacturing plant. He doesn't know what he's busy with. People always ask him, what's your grandfather do? His grandfather says, you know, come down, I'll show you. Takes him from room to room. And he shows him tires and steering wheels and the engines and everything else. And he's looking at each room. It's amazing. All these people working and putting assembly lines, putting things together. Amazing. And finally, they've seen the whole place. And the kid's blown away, but he doesn't understand, what does his grandfather do? What is all this? Why do they have all this weird stuff? And he says, now I'm going to show you. They come to the last room, big showroom, and there's a car sparkling, you know, and the lights on it, whatever. Oh, you manufactured cars. All those parts, all those pieces, it's all for that. That's the goal. Now I understand. A whole week, it wasn't clear when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating the world. What's the goal of it all? And then Kum Shabbos. And the Rebbeinu Shalom rests. That means he steps back so that we have the ability to step back and say, oh, it's all a conduit for Kvod Shemayim. It's all there to bring us to come close to Him. That's the purpose of it all. That's the Kedusha. I often think of that any time I fly anywhere. You know, you're sitting on the runway, sometimes for a long time, you know, and you see buildings in the distance and the workers and all of a sudden you go down the runway. It never stops. I cannot understand how people can be busy during takeoff. My wife makes fun of me. Every time I go on a plane, I video it as we go off because I'm amazed by it. And as we land, all of a sudden, in seconds, you just, what looked so big before is, it looks like, flick it like my kids' toys. You just flick it over. The buildings, the things that were so big, they look like toys, look like nothing. And that's a little bit the perspective of Shabbos. The things that are so big, so overwhelming. Now it's all one purpose, and that's to come close to Hashem. That's what the whole world is about. During the week, we declare, Marabu Masecha Hashem. How numerous are your workings, Hashem? Anytime we go on trips or anywhere, you stand on top of a mountain, you see a sunset, and people will say, Marabu Masecha Hashem, wow. It's fascinating. Nusach Ashkenaz takes those words out. Nusach Sfar, I didn't realize that. I once said this. Someone said, no, we say it, but Nusach Sfar, the king keeps it in. But Nusach Ashkenaz takes it out. On Shabbos, so I understand we take out Tachan and we take out other things, but why would we take out a sentence about how numerous are your workings, Hashem? Says Rav Huttner, beautiful. He says, on Shabbos, during the week, our focus is on how numerous, quantitatively, how much there is in the world. On Shabbos, it's not about Marabu Masecha Hashem, it's about Magodlu Masecha Hashem, which we say in Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. How great are your workings, Hashem? The quality, not the quantity. On Shabbos, it's like takeoff. And we come into shul on Friday night, it's like a different view of the world. I'm busy with my business, I'm busy with this. I have so many frustrations on Shabbos. It's just, It's all about thanking Hashem. It's all about coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At Shabbos, we view the world, Hashem Ha'aretz U'Malah. It's all about connecting with Hashem. That's why the week is called Chol, because it's disparate. And Shabbos is Kodesh, because it all comes together. Menucha is the ability to recharge. Literally, physical menucha is physical rest. When a person takes a good nap and they're recharged. So on Shabbos, it's a spiritual recharging. That's the menucha. Shabbos, Rav Pinkus says so beautifully. He says, every Yom Tov is about what we do. On Pesach, we do the matzah. On Sukkot, we do Dalet Minim. Shavuos, we do learn Torah. In Kippur, we do tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, we're mamlech Hashem. On Shabbos, is not defined by what we do as much as what we don't do. I take a step back on Shabbos. And in so doing, I'm declaring, Hashem runs the world, not me. It's His world. And everything that happens in... So you're not going to kill a mosquito on Shabbos. All week long, mosquitoes bother me. I kill it on Shabbos, I can't. Because me and the mosquito, we're both creations of Hashem. It's Hashem's world. That's Mizmor Shirli Yassid Lavo. Shabbos is a glimpse of the future. Because in the future it will be clear. Bayom Ahoyi Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That everything is about Hashem. And the Chachamim say, it's brought down the Chazals that say, that a Talmud Chochum, a scholar, is in the category of Shabbos. Why? Because a great person lives his or her life. Everything is about that goal. That's Kedusha. When it all comes, there's a fusion. It all comes together. No matter what I'm doing. In yesterday's Parsha, the Pasuk says, Avram zokein babayom. Avram was old, coming with his days. Well, how do you come with your days? They say over that Shemayim, fellow was 95 years old, had great grandchildren, he was the CEO of the company, everybody knew him, he was a famous personality. He comes up to Shemayim and there's an announcement, the 23-year-old is here. Excuse me? I was 95, everybody knew who I was, everybody's giving me COVID up there, what's what he talking about? I said, up here, we don't judge age by like how long you biologically lived. What do you have to show for it? So he said, we were able to piece together about 23 years. You ate half the time, you drank, you were sleeping, you were on vacations, recreation, work. We put together 23 years, time in shul a little bit, so you know, that's what we put together. 5 minutes later, another guy comes up there, he's announced 80 years old. He goes, what's going on over here? He also ate, I used to eat with him, he also drank, he also slept. I said, yeah, but he did it in his mind, it was all to serve Hashem. Yeah, he did the same things as you did. But in his mind, it was about serving Hashem. He went on vacation, it was about recharging the battery. It was all about serving Hashem. A person has to live in this world, of course. To come with your days means that even when I'm involved in physical things, that's a life of Kedusha. It's all for that same higher purpose. And Avraham Avinu brought every day with him. This person goes to work, we spend most of our days not with our priorities, maybe in work. We're not able to spend our time with our families and other things and learning. But if I'm doing it, and it's all in my attitude, amazing, that it just changes with my attitude and what's my perspective. That this is not the ikkar, the main thing is the things that I only have a few minutes to do, spend less time with. And all of that is also part of a life of Kedusha, a life of Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Wein, my Rebbe Wein, Rebbe of mine, my Shishiva, so he said that in the 70s, he ran the OU. In his words, the Lord has since delivered me from that very difficult job. But he said that he worked when he first came on, before he ran the OU. Careful what I say about kashrus here. But Rabbi Alexander Rosenberg, Zichet Tzadik Livracha, he said was his, like the mentor, was the person in charge. He said Rabbi Alexander Rosenberg had on the tip of his mouth, the words that he always said was, "Und was sagt Gott?" What does God say? So you can imagine, it's a high pressure job, a job in kashrus. And many times people would come and they would say, you know, if we do this, if we do that, we can save some money. "Und was sagt Gott?" What does God say? If I was able to ask God, do you want me to do this? What would God say? So he tells over a story during the Arab oil embargo in 1973. He gets a phone call from a large pharmaceutical company. A production crisis, they need a large amount of glycerin, pronto. He says, I can't get deliveries because the suppliers don't have crude oil. There are a million labels with the OU on them, It'll take us 10 days to produce those labels without OU on it. And he says, and I am not stopping production for 10 days. So he said, either you get me 8 cartloads of glycerin, or it goes out with the wrong labels. And he gave him a list of companies and suppliers, possible ones. What's he going to do? You can't send out a message to all the shuls. First of all, this is pre-email days and WhatsApp groups. How are you going to get the message out? But even if you do, it's going to ruin the credibility of the OU. So Berwine says, I set out to find kosher glycerin. Called this company, that company, this person, that... nobody. It's one last number, a Jewish fellow, and he tells him, I think I can release what you need, the glycerin that you need, but I need some assurances. So Berwine says, oh, all right, what's the price? He says, okay, what assurance do you need? So he says, I want to make sure that Rabbi Rosenberg knows what I'm doing. Rabbi Rosenberg had passed away a few months earlier. He said, Rabbi Rosenberg always told me, he always impressed upon me, that the job of the OU is to pay attention to God. Was sagt Gott? He said, I want to know that he knows what I'm doing, that I'm being most nefesh to release these. And Rabbi Wine says, I assure you that he knows. It's a Kiddush Hashem. Rabbi Feifel says, desacralization is when everything is disparate, nothing comes together, there's no cohesion in life. Life is not about a united goal. It's a result of fragmentation, which we all suffer from. The Kedusha, a life of Kedusha, of Kiddush Hashem, is when everything comes together, it's all for one purpose, no matter what I'm doing. I could be on vacation. But it's in my mind, I know that it's all about bringing Kvod Shemayim wherever I go. I have a friend, a younger friend, who his parents were divorced, and he was often pulled in different directions. He's the sweetest guy in the world. He always wanted to make everybody happy, which is impossible in a regular situation, never mind in a situation of divorce. And a Rebbe of ours, he was closest and I was closest, and I was talking to this Rebbe, and he told me, his name was Moshe. I said, I told Moshe, you have one cheshbon, you have one calculation to make in life. What does Hashem want from me? Not my father, not my mother. Usually Hashem wants us to make our father and mother happy. He said, in this situation, what does Hashem want from me? And I was very moved by that. That's the cheshbon we have to make. Often we don't know what Hashem wants from us in many situations, which is why we need Rabbanim, which is why we need Das Torah, we need guidance, we need people that we can ask. But that's the perspective. What does Hashem want from me? I heard such a beautiful thought this year before Simchas Torah, one of the so many beautiful WhatsApp groups. I think it was from Rabbi Pesach Kron's son, Zelikron, I forgot his name. He said a beautiful thought. There's a song that we sing on Simchas Torah. I know. Which is a quote from Brich Shmei, which we say before laning. I am a servant of Hashem. So he said, they asked the question, it's like a little egotistical. I. I know. Why don't we say, I know, Avda, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I am a servant, the servant, the servant of Hashem. I understand, you have to fit the song, but like it's a lot of I's. So I don't know who he quoted, he said, they say a beautiful verse. He said, in life, we have different personalities different personas that we bring forward. And when I'm at work, I might be one person. When I'm at home, I might be another person. We don't act the same way in different situations. I'm on vacation, I'm another person. I know. All those different eyes. The eye that I am at home, the eye that I am at work, the eye that I'm on vacation, the eye that I'm in shul, avdo de kodesh baruch hu. All the eyes in my life, they're all servants of Hashem. That's not easy to do. But that's a beautiful goal, that's a beautiful mantra to have. We all know Avraham Avinu had 10 tests. The last one, almost everybody agrees, we would all say, was Akedas Yitzchak. I mean, what could be harder than Akedas Yitzchak? Rabbeinu Yonah has a very interesting pshat. He says, no, that's not the 10th, that was the 9th. The 10th test was burying Sarah, dealing with Ephron, Maras HaMachpelah. I mean, I'm sure it was frustrating and it was difficult and Avram had to pay a lot of money, but is that harder? Is that really harder than taking your son that you waited for 100 years and your whole future is invested in? That's harder? So they say that the 10th test was about daily living. Akedah, as incredible as it was a moment. But going back to work afterwards, having to go deal, his wife is lying there, and now he has to go deal with this conniver Ephraim, not to lose himself, and to still be Avram Avinu, and to still be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, that's the test of daily life. That's amazing. Rav Matisyahu Salomon says that we need to darshan. You hear drushes, you hear speeches about Avraham Avinu's chesed. Chesed of Avraham was amazing. And every year you're hearing new things, the chesed of Avraham, the chesed of Rivka, new pshatim, new ideas about how incredible it was. You think it was incredible, it was even more, because says Rav Matisyahu, in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Elie Lopian, we need to do that with Yaakov Avinu in the home of Lavan, which we'll get to next week in Mirza Shem, Parshas Vayetze. Yaakov Avinu in the home of Lavan, the integrity. His father-in-law was a cheat. Anyone who thinks they have a problem with their shver, he was the shverest of the shvers. He was the most difficult father-in-law. And Yaakov Avinu never lost his integrity. Incredible. He says, we need to teach that to our children, emphasize that also, about being honest and having integrity in the workplace. I have a Rebbe I'm close with from camp for many years. He's a well-known, great personality. Rebbe Mordechai Finkelman. He's a great man. A person who really is a walking Kiddush Hashem. So he told us once, he was in Walmart, in the Poconos, you know, not exactly a place where you see so many from Jews. And he was online buying prizes for camp. And he handed the tax exemption, it was for a camp. So he handed a tax exemption to the cashier. And the cashier said, oh, I didn't realize that I'll have to, you know, redo all the, a lot of prizes there, I'll have to redo them all. So he said, Finkelman said, I looked, there was a whole bunch of people, locals from the Poconos, you know, they're online. It's going to take another 3-4 minutes. They're going to be grumbling. He said, it's quite obvious that I'm a religious Jew. He said, I told him, forget it. And I pocketed it. I paid for it. I paid for the tax, a few dollars. It's not worth it. A person who thinks the Kiddush Shem Shemayim, it's going to cause, you know. He used to say also that you go to the gas station, he said, you tip the gas attendant in camp every year. They say this joke, which I can't stand, which they say every year on visiting day, or as what's known as Palm Sunday in Camp World, because they give out the tips. They would say on the microphone, what's the difference between a Jew and a canoe? A canoe tips. So Rabbi Finkelman used to say, it's a Chilul Hashem. That they say that is actually a verb like that. To Jew someone is to cheat them. It's a Chilul Hashem. Shouldn't be that way. So it's by the way, it's amazing because I try always to give the gas attendant a dollar, and it's amazing. You get all these blessings from them. God bless you. It's amazing. It's not just the money, even for $1, but it's also I once read this somewhere, that it's also you recognized me, you know, that I'm, you know, not just it's amazing. Sometimes they're so grumpy and having the dollar at the end, and they're like, you have a great night there. Thank you, sir. You know, it's for a dollar to make a Kiddush Hashem. It's amazing. But the key is to always have that sense of mission, that I'm on a mission my whole life. That's what I'm about. I'm here to make a Kiddush Hashem. To remind ourselves that constantly. Chabad, just today, they had that picture. I don't know how many hundreds of shluchim from all over the world. They had that picture, if you saw it. It's amazing. How are they so successful? They have people in every part of the world, right? How do you know that man hasn't landed on Mars? Because there's no Chabad there. The truth is, very likely, whoever gets there, they might find that there is a Chabad there. How do we know, you know? But how are they so successful for the most part? Because they call them shluchim. That's what they're called. I'm on a mission. That's what I'm here to do. In Gavriel and Rivka Holtzberg were shluchim in Mumbai, for those who remember this terrible story, in India. And in 2008, there was a horrible story, a massacre. And they were killed along with others. The shluchim there, Gavriel and Rivka Holtzberg. Their son, their 2-year-old son Moshe, was saved by the nanny. I'm imagining his bar mitzvah must be right about now. He just met Netanyahu, and he met the Prime Minister of India recently. It's very beautiful. But it was a tragedy. It was a terrible, terrible story. Ripped the heart of every Jew out. And during the week of Shiva, this is pretty mind-boggling, a woman came in, Mrs. Yehudis Rosenberg, Rivka Holtzberg's mother, was sitting Shiva, I think in Brooklyn. And a woman walks in and hands her a package. It's unusual, in the middle of Shiva, to be handed a package. She opens up the package to find her daughter, her deceased daughter, Rivka's, one of her nicest dresses and her diamond ring. And the woman said, a few months ago I was visiting India and I was apprehended for illegal materials and I was put in jail. So when I finally got out, I made a beeline, I went straight to the Chabad house, and Rivka gave me one of her nicest dresses and her ring so that I would look presentable and I wouldn't look like a fugitive to be able to get out of the country without further issue. And she said it worked. And Mrs. Rosenberg said, you know, I had asked my daughter recently, where's your diamond ring? And she said, it's on Shlichus. That means not just were they on Shlichus, the ring was on Shlichus. That's an amazing story. That's a person who really lives with that sense of mission. Rav Moshe Wolfson said that the Meraglim were sent as Shluchim of Hashem, God's messengers, and they forgot, on their level, they forgot whose messengers they were. And they thought they were messengers of Klal Yisrael and not messengers of God, and that's what messed them up. And we have to maintain that sense of who we are Shluchim of. We are messengers of Hashem. We are the ambassadors of Hashem. And a life of Yiras Hashem, to have that awe and reverence, not a fear of punishment. That's a lower level. That's not the level that we're aspiring for. Yiras Aromimus, a fear of heaven, means I look at the world in awe and see, look at this magnificent world that God created with all of its different components. All of it is an opportunity to come close to Him. I don't want to mess it up. I don't want to mess it up for myself. I don't want to mess up that master plan. When a person has that sense of reverence for what the world stands for, what the world is, he doesn't want to tamper with it. And Rav Freifeld said, that's Yiras Hashem. That's what it means, Yiras Shamayim. A fear of messing up that beautiful synthesis of the world. At the hesped of the Chofetz Chaim, a student of Chanan Wasserman spoke, and he said, at the end of the Torah tells us, Vayomas Shom Moshe Ever Hashem. Moshe died there, the servant of Hashem. So Balkore, Choshev Talmud Chacham, in the shul, in my shul, when he used to read those words, his voice would crack. It was, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu. We spend from Parsha Shemos onwards, all we talk about is Moshe Rabbeinu. And he felt it. Moshe died there, and he cried, he shed a tear. But the Torah says that Moshe died there, Moshe Eved Hashem. Can't you come up with a nicer accolade? Moshe Rabbeinu, he brought down the Torah, he was the in-between with Paro, Kriyas Yamsuf, I mean, you name it. The person who had infinite patience with the Jewish people. Moshe Eved Hashem. Can't you say anything more? So Rabbi Chanan quoted a Medrash Tanchuma, a beautiful Medrash Tanchuma. It was a father. The Medrash tells a story about a father who was overseas. He sent his son to learn in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. One day, the butler, the head servant, comes to the yeshiva, he calls the son out, and he says, I have terrible news. He says, your father got very sick very quickly, and he died. Could have happened. The butler says, I have something else I need to tell you. He said, before your father died, when he was dying and he knew he wouldn't have a chance to summon you, it would happen so quickly, he gave me a document giving over everything he owns to me, except you're allowed to pick one thing. I know it's very painful, but, and he pulls out a document, and there it is, his father's handwriting. And the son is beside himself. Did my father... Not only is my father, my world just collapsed, but did he love me? Like he gave away everything. He can't believe it. And he goes into his Rebbe. He said, how could this have happened? Rebbe looks at it and he says, your father is a genius. He said, I want to explain to you something. He said, your father realized he was about to die. And he's going to die and you're not here and no one's the wiser. He's going to walk off with all the money. He thought to himself, how can I get the butler to get you the money? So he had this ploy. You can pick one thing. You know what the one thing you should pick? The servant, the butler. Pick the butler. That's the one thing from your father's estate that you want. You pick the butler, you get everything. Masha kana eved kana rabba. What a servant owns, the master owns. You pick him, you get everything. Said Rabbi Chanan, there is no higher accolade than Eved Hashem. Eved Hashem means less lay migar me klum. He has nothing. He had the ability to teach, to give. Every bit of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, every breath he breathed was for Klal Yisrael, was for Hashem. There is nothing higher to be said, there is nothing more to be said than Eved Hashem. It includes everything. Said Rabbi Chanan, that was the Chofetz Chaim. He was able to speak, he spoke. He spoke on behalf of Hashem, he spoke on behalf of Torah, on behalf of Klal Yisrael. He was able to write, he wrote halacha svarim, magnificent halacha svarim. When I was a kid, I thought the Chofetz Chaim lived 800 years ago. Because we talk about him with such reverence, and I found out he died in 1930. What? 1933. How could it be? You know, it's just, he's such a giant, the Chofetz Chaim. He said everything he was able to do, He did. He was an Eved Hashem on the highest level. Eliezer, in yesterday's parasha, doesn't say his name. He's called Eved. And we know Rashi brings down Eliezer really wanted his own daughter to marry Yitzchak. To be able to put that aside, it's the highest accolade in the world that he was an Eved. And the greatest Kiddush Hashem is to be able to live an exalted life, to live connected to Hashem constantly. Rav Michal Ber Weissmandel, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, survived the Nazi inferno. He tried to warn the world about what was going on. It was a very frustrating life. He tried to save so many Jews. He was Moser Nefesh. He lost his wife and children. I believe he jumped off a moving train. No one else would come with him. And he moved to Williamsburg. And he remarried. He lost five children in the war. And he had lost five sons. And he had five sons after the war. On the day of his youngest son's bar mitzvah, he got up to speak and he said, "I thought of something this morning. Chamisha mul chamisha. These five correspond to those five. My five children in Shemayim." And he said, "What I hope for my children is nikadesh es shimcha ba'olam. That these five children, the ones that I have, should sanctify your name in this world. Just like their brothers, the other five, are sanctifying his name in that world." That's the tefillah. That's what we have. In Shemayim, there's only one thing that exists, Kiddush Hashem. And our goal is to make that into this world as well. There's a very powerful poem called "The Dash" by Linda Ellis. And she basically, in the poem, she depicts the fact that on any tombstone, there's two dates. The date a person is born and the day a person died. And in between, there's a little dash. He said, and that dash represents everything about a person's life. Their love, their challenges, their accomplishments. It's all in that little dash in between those two dates. And I just want to read you one quote from that. It's a magnificent poem, just one quote. "For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash." A Jew's dash is dedicated to Kiddushim Shemayim. And that doesn't mean he's not part of this world. He is, and she is, and needs to be. I want to share with you the vart that brought me here. It's really Kiddush, the Ashkacha Pratis of it, that Phil heard that meaningful minute. I want to share it with you. Because actually when I shared it, I didn't say the name of the person. But I want to share it with you because I have his permission. When my family, my wife and I, when we first got married, my wife is in a one-year post-seminary program in Brooklyn. It's amazing. Anybody who lives in Brooklyn thinks it's Gan Eden on earth, and anyone who doesn't think that way. So the day my wife took her last final, we lived in Brooklyn for 2.5 months and got married in February, and the day she took her last final, that afternoon we moved to Muncie. We had a good time in Brooklyn. Anyone who's watching from Brooklyn, I just want you to know we had a good time, but it wasn't for us. So we lived in an apartment complex in Muncie called Victoria Gardens, and we had a downstairs neighbor, Alan and Miriam Proctor. Wonderful, wonderful people. Invited us for Shabbos, and it was wonderful, wonderful people. A few years, it was after we moved out, Miriam, the wife, was very sick, and she passed away. And at her funeral, Alan spoke. And I was very moved by it. I wrote it down, and I saw it in my notes. Now it's, I don't know how many years later already, well over a decade, and I happen to have said it for a meaningful minute that day. And he said that, "I once saw a bumper sticker that read, 'He who dies with the most toys wins.'" He said, "I thought to myself, that's not a Jewish hashkafa. I asked my Rebbe," this is him talking at his wife's funeral, "what is the Jewish hashkafa of that?" So my Rebbe thought for a second and he said, "He who dies having caused the most Kiddush Hashem, the most Kvod Shemayim, bringing the most people close to Hashem, wins." And he said, "Miriam, from all the emails and all the conversations that I've had over the last few weeks, it seems very clear that you won. Go take your place next to the Kisei HaKavod. Thank you for being my wife." It's unbelievable. It's very powerful. To live a life, when all is said and done, to live a life of Kiddushim Shemayim. We talk a lot about Kedusha in this religion. Kaddish, Kedusha, Kiddush. Kiddushin, as we said before. We love to scream out, Kiddush, Kiddush. So maybe it is about the Kugel and the Chalant, but subconsciously, it's the Kiddush that never ends. It's about living a life of connection, a life of meaning. We're ready, we're Mevarchim Chodesh Kislev, we're in the throes of Hanukkah. Coming to my conclusion. There was a famous Russian refusenik named Yosef Begun. 1971, languishing in a Moscow prison. He wrote about his experience with a fellow named, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Krizhak. Krizhak, he said, was amazing. He was very adroit with his hands. He fashioned a dreidel out of bread with all the letters and everything else, and we spun the dreidel, but we had no menorah right before Hanukkah. He said, the day before Hanukkah, Krizhak was banging on the cell, screaming in pain, call a doctor, call a doctor. They came running in, what's the matter? He said, I'm having a hemorrhoid attack. I need suppositories immediately. So they came and they brought him the suppositories. And he says, we pulled out threads from our uniforms and we made wicks. With our wax-based suppositories, we put them on our aluminum spoons and melted them down. We placed makeshift wicks into the wax and shaped the candles. And we made a menorah. And we lit the menorah. And we sang songs. And we told stories. And we spun the dreidel. And he said, we may have been cut off from the rest of the world, enclosed behind thick steel doors, but we were still with our people. Haneros halalu kodeshe. These neros are holy. A Jew strives for the life of kedusha. Everything comes together. These candles, those little candles, you know, the Goyim's candles, Goyim's lights this time of year are much brighter and much prettier and much fancier. But our lights remind us of our mission. Kodeshim. They're holy. And they reflect us. We're the menorah of Hashem. And they bring us back to our mission and remind us what our life is about. As the Rambam says in Yerchanukah, mitzvah chaviva hi ad me'od. It's such a beloved mitzvah. And if you'll indulge me for one more moment to share something personal. Tonight, I was very excited when I realized that tonight is Chav Zayin Cheshvan. Tonight is my Zaydi's Yahrzeit, my mother's father. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Cohn, Rabbi Max Cohn, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Yaakov Meir, Ben Rav Yosef Yitzchak. One of, if not the foremost role model in my life. A person, he learned by Rabbi Chanan in Baranovich, he learned by Rabbi Aaron Cutler in Kletsk, in Europe. It was a person who was a Rav here on the Lower East Side. He was a speaker, he was a charismatic person. Worked in Kashrus in the early 80s when his shul closed down. A tremendous sense of humor, a spark. I don't understand how people could have been like that. A person who lost his whole family. He had a brother actually who survived, but he didn't know that till later. But he lost everyone. He was an orphan on the run and was a person who was full of positivity and full of life. And to me, the epitome of what it means, Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Avas HaTorah above everything else. But when he was nifter, the night he was nifter, Chav Zayin Cheshvan, I believe it was 1988 or 1987, so he did what he always did. He came home from a meeting, he opened up his gemara. He heard a noise, he went to the closet, he had a heart attack and was nifter there. But in our family, the symbolism that he left the gemara open, to us is like a mandate. To us it's a reminder that throughout the generations that's what happened. The Kiddush Hashem, the gemara remains open. From one generation to the next, it's a mission that we continue. All the way back, and we connect to Avraham Avinu, we connect to the future, to the end of time, to Kiddush Shem Shemayim. That's the mission of every Jew. And it connects us. It connects the whole world. It brings it together with such magnificence, such beauty. And the whole world has this purpose and has this direction. We take a step back every Shabbos Kodesh, because it's... And that's what we strive to live. So the only way I can conclude is... Baruch Ata Hashem HaMekadish Shemcho Barab, Shmo Barabim. To sanctify His name Barabim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gives us the schus that we should have the opportunity to be Mekadish Shem Shemayim, to sanctify His name, to be able to live that life of meaning, of direction, of cohesion, of synthesis, a life with an elevated purpose. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us all to live that life of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. I thank you very, very much for giving me the opportunity to be here tonight.